Vote. Real people, real opinions, real situations. Crossroads, exclusive to CII.
Sands F is proud to announce the launch of Operation Kurbani 2008.
Now incorporating the Masjid Wakaf Fund.
We will personally supervise the slaughter and distribution of all your Kurbani locally, as well as in Malawi and Mozambique.
But when you support the Sands F Kurbani,
18 minutes to 9 p.m. Central African Time, and you are tuned into the Intellectual Challenge with me tonight on the show, none other than Daryl Bradford-Smith. And the question we're going to ask, and it appears as if there is a new nation that is created across the world, the Obama Nation, because this man has actually spread his Obama mania right across the world. At the end of the day, I don't know whether this man can deliver. In fact, many, many question marks have been raised, and this is what Daryl and I have been discussing concerning Barack Obama. At the end of the day, what is the true agenda behind this man? Who is behind the man? Who are his masters? Whom is he serving? Now, Daryl, the role of big business in getting Obama to where he is today, how would you describe that?
Well, you know, when you take a look at who's really running big business today, it's the same interests. Sadly, over the last 30 years, any large corporation in this world, and I can include any South African large corporation, any European or otherwise, is in the hands of this group. Now, that may sound unbelievable to you, but let me give you a little rundown here in France alone. All the major companies here in France are owned and operated by Jewish interests, whether that be Airbus Industries, Lagardère, Dassault, it doesn't matter, L'Oreal, all Jewish-owned companies. Lagardère owns all of the newspaper publishing. How about Agence France Presse, all of the television channels, all of the manufacturers of luxury goods, Hennessy, Pinot Pontin Redoute, the Lafayette stores. Every single major company is in the hands of these Zionist Jews now. They are the preferred shareholders, and they control these businesses. This is the same as it is in Britain, as it is in America, as it is in Italy, and we can go down the list, and we know the Rand Corporation is riddled. We know that your stock market is 65% owned by Harry Oppenheimer in South Africa. These are facts. Now, whether or not people want to admit them is different. So when you say big business gave the money, no. The same criminal gang is given the money. They just happen to own all those businesses.
Correct. Now, Daryl, you know, just looking at it from America's point of view and being an American, yeah, you know, he's made many promises, and the people, I think, who are likely to be most disappointed are the people, the poverty-stricken people, the blacks who have given him the vote, the young people who have been actually mesmerized by his charm. But here you have someone who, at the end of the day, as innocent as he may look or may sound, and that would go for his wife, Michelle, as well, because, you know, she's been presented as a perfect, a humble and a principled first lady. But this was a lady who once actually badmouthed America, you know, and made many, many racist comments about South Africa. And these are the type of people that have actually been put into power who owe, who owe absolutely no loyalty, and who are not patriotic about America, just considering their past and their behavior towards America. Now, how does it make you feel as an American?
Well, you know, look, whether somebody's black, white, or any other color, see, this is another thing they use, and I said something about this on my last show that I did, but I'm gonna restate it here. This multiculturalism idea is run by this same group. They want us to start running around saying, I'm an African American, or I'm a Indian American, or I'm a white American. They want us to become ensconced in our own racial camp, so that later on, when we are only identifying ourselves from the single group black American, single group white American, that they can pit us against each other. Fact of the matter is I'm an American. I judge people based upon their character, black, white, or indifferent. It doesn't matter to me what race you are. See, the problem is once we start this nonsense of multiculturalism as a way of presenting the world, we are setting ourselves up to be allied with a single camp. I don't align myself with a camp. I align myself with good people or bad people. Those are the two groups. We've got people that are good, doing good things in this world, and we've got bad people doing bad things. And if you want to be my friend, I don't care what race you are. I care what your character contains. So the truth is that this multicultural program they've got coming out of the United Nations, coming out of the United States, run by the African National Congress, all of this stuff is designed to separate people. It's not designed to bring us together. And people don't understand this, you see. They say that you're a Muslim South African or you're a black South African or a white South African. Just don't put the white, black, or Muslim there. Put South African, and either you're a bad guy or a good guy. Period. I don't care what your race is. They want you to feel allied to a certain race so that later on they can make trouble between the groups. And it's worked like a charm for them. And as long as we hang on to these multicultural things that they're putting out, we're always going to be separated. And this Obama thing is a perfect example of that.
Well, it certainly is a perfect example. Daryl, just moving on to the rest of the world that has been caught in the grips of Obama fever, pinning their hopes on the man. What can the rest of the world expect? And I know I can speak for South Africa and Africa in particular, where there was this huge, I would say joy and happiness at the result. But do you think there's going to be major disappointments for Africa and the rest of the world?
You just stand by and wait till you see this stuff unfold. You're going to be scraping for seeds on the ground to be eating. I mean, you're going to be the Haitians in Haiti have been eating mud to fill their stomachs up. People around the world, maybe not in South Africa, I don't know about the exactness of how bad your country will be hit, but I am going to tell you that there is going to be famine and pestilence worldwide. That's right on our horizon, and I'll give you a couple of examples of why. Now, you know, Inayat, that my speciality is finance and money. This is what I've always spent my time learning, the point of the matter is here. The entire financial system worldwide has failed. It is in a complete lockup. And these people are doing absolutely nothing to unlock it. And I'll give you one example of how this actually translates into our lives so that you'll understand what's coming. When people want to ship something from one part of the world to another, it's required that they issue what's called a letter of credit. And that letter of credit guarantees the shipper his payment. Well, letters of credit around the world have ceased to be circulated. People are not sending them and people are not accepting them. So let's get into the nitty-gritty here. If your country is a net importer of food, okay, if your South Africa is not growing enough wheat for its population, then you need a letter of credit to get the shipment of wheat into your ports so you can have bread on your tables. Well, the fact of the matter is that bread and that wheat is not being delivered. It is not being delivered worldwide. And what we're finding out is that people don't trust the American dollar anymore. They don't trust letters of credit anymore. And what we're seeing is the makings of a worldwide famine. And it's just on the cusp right now of hitting everybody. By February and March of next year, you're going to see problems erupt in the world that are going to shock you. And this is going to be on your mainstream news. The real shocking stuff is going to be stuff you don't even hear about. There's going to be problems. You've seen famines hit the African continent, and you've seen the devastation of these things. You can see it right now in Sudan being perpetrated by the Janjaweed, which is a Jewish-run terrorist group. But there's famine going on. There's going to be famine in the Congo. There's famine in Zimbabwe. There's famine, and guess what? It's just on the doorstep for other countries throughout Pan-Africa, and America is going to fall into a mess that I can't even describe to you on this radio program because I may begin to weep telling you. It is that horrific. So the fact of the matter is that what Obama's future portends for us is horror. And there is going to be nothing to ameliorate that horror because he was placed there to bring it forward. And that's what we face.
Well, it certainly appears as if he may be fast-tracking this entire agenda, Daryl, because I think at the end of the day, will the world ever wake up to the truth? We all know that the truth is actually very, very hard to face. but blindness to reality, false optimism at the end of the day is what is actually ruling the day. And I think it is the rest of the world that are the poor suckers that are actually going to be taken for one big ride, Daryl.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Now, you know, a lot of people have written to me recently and said, you've had prophetic insights, Daryl. How did you know a year and a half, 2 years ago, that the problems that are coming today were on their way? I told people what was going to happen 2 years ago and a year and a half ago, everything in detail. They said, "How did you know? Have you some link to the powerful?" And I said, "No." And they said, "You have some link to the spiritual." And I said, "Well, look, the truth is that if you take a look at what the agenda has been, what the agenda presently is, and what they've claimed the agenda is in the future, it's not hard to see what's coming. And if you have knowledge in finance, which is really what runs everything, money is how you can track these people's crimes. They can't cover up the money trail. And the fact is when I did my research and did my homework, I found out the crimes that were being committed and were going to be committed were clear to me. And I started reporting them. Now, of course, this is a dangerous thing to do because these people don't want their secrets out. But you know what? Look, you got kids, you got family, you got everybody around you that you love, and just think of it this way: when you can't feed those people, and you want to know what to do to stop it, you've got to start taking action tonight. We as human beings need to stand up in unison here. I can go on and give you lots of facts about any subject because I'm a walking encyclopedia about this stuff, but it's not going to change it if people don't help me. I can't, if nobody's going to stand up and help you and I get this message out, then in the final analysis, everything I'm saying means nothing. Because words without action are just words. They're nothing.
Absolutely. And that is why it is so important to actually get this message out. Now, Daryl, I just like your thoughts on world leaders. Because, you know, what we've seen coming through from many countries, there's this huge hope that, you know, America is going to change. Because what had happened is, you know, I mean, George Bush was a total disappointment to the entire world. And yet, when one looks at world leaders, they just, when looking at Obama, looking at the manner in which he's been actually portrayed by the media, they've just got so much hope in the man. What does it say of the caliber of world leaders who are actually hopeful that Obama is actually going to revolutionize the world?
Well, let's go down the list here of world leaders. How about this leader of France? How about his entire cabinet? All of his ministers are Jewish. Now, there's only 1% Jewish in France, but the entire government of Nicolas Sarkozy is Jewish. In fact, he's a right-wing candidate, but everybody from the left who was Jewish joined his government. We've got Kirchner and Jack Lang, and we've got Copay, and we've got Dominique Strauss-Kahn, head of the IMF, one of the biggest criminals in France. He was stealing from young people and their insurance fund only 4 years ago. And now he's the head of the biggest bank in the world. You can't make this stuff up. We've got Gordon Brown, run by Lord Goldsmith and by people that were behind him early on, like Jack Straw, who's no longer around. But we've got criminals from every walk of the Jewish persuasion of around these leaders. These people have, I'll give you a good example. Well, this is another example. I told you that George Bush had prostitutes visiting him in the White House. Now, that is a matter of public record today, and anybody in the Internet can look it up. He had a man named Jeff Gannon, who was a guy named Gallick, was visiting, and this man was a male prostitute in Washington, D.C., and he visited the White House privately on over 100 times, this guy. Now, I don't know what they were doing there, because I'm not watching the stuff, but I do know when you have a male prostitute visiting privately in your quarters, something is not right. Now, we can track Gordon Brown back to a pedophile ring in Scotland. And the Dunblane massacre was done by a man who had direct ties to Gordon Brown. Now, this is not what I'm making up either. This is part of the public record. You can't make this stuff up. And, when you start looking behind these leaders and you say, why aren't they speaking out? Well, it's either they're blackmailed, Or they're Jewish. They're from the Jewish persuasion. Now, you take a look at what's happening in America right now. They're setting up this new administration. We've got people like Hartman coming out of California, a Zionist Jewish woman who supported Israel and all of the crimes Israel has committed against Palestine and elsewhere. She's going to join the administration. We've got Barbara Boxer, another Jewish woman from California, behind this guy. We've got Feinstein, another Jewish supporter of this man. Warner, the Warner Defense Act. I go down the list. It is a putrid mess, if you want to look at it. And these are names that all pan out to be criminal Zionists, and they're in France, they're in Britain, and I dare say they're running South Africa from behind the scenes, too. Just take a look behind who's the different parties in South Africa, and you'll find the same suspects.
Absolutely. And, you know, also when one looks at the number of Jewish members of Congress that serve on various committees of Barack Obama, people like Frank Lauterberg, Robert Wexler, Jan Schakowsky, Steve Rossman, and, you know, all at the end of the day, and this is to shape Obama's Israel policy. Just very quickly before we go for the next break, Daryl, just to look at the Middle East. What can the Middle East expect from Barack Obama?
Well, first of all, a blind eye to the actions of Israel. And I'm hoping that more and more people are going to turn their attention to the crimes being committed against the Palestinians, because, of course, they are taking the brunt of this sickness. Not alone. I mean, the Sudanese are taking the brunt, and so are the Congolese. There are places around the world that are taking terrible beatings at the hands of these Zionists. But the Palestinians are the longest suffering that I can think of. And the fact is that America has no interest in changing any policies there. You're going to see that this Freemason criminal that runs Jordan will never open his trap. He's going to stay silent. We're going to see that the next leader in Egypt is going to emerge, whether that be Hosni Mubarak's son or somebody else from his immediate entourage takes control. There is virtually no place that is going to change their positions, because if they change their position, they will be assassinated the following day, if not sooner. You know, this guy Gaddafi sold out recently. I mean, he sold out to the Western Zionists, and he was basically a foil to them anyway. He never was a stand-up guy in the Islamic community, and the King of Morocco has been signed on with them through his connections to France and Spain and the Grand Orient Lodge for generations. So Islam and the Islamic countries of North Africa are in fact as bad or worse than they've ever been, and I don't see any changes materially coming. Now, Turkey, on the other hand, is starting to experience a resurgence in the truth about the Young Turks, about Ataturk being Jewish, about the secular state being really a destruction of Islam, and people are waking up to the facts little by slowly, and so Turkey could be a hot spot for change. I don't know if that's going to actually take root, but I can hope. Israel has been in control of Turkey for the last 40 years, and that's a fact. For Iraq, I don't see anybody living in Iraq that's going to live through cancer. Every person that lives in Iraq is going to die of cancer, and that includes the troops that have served there. That is a wasteland of uranium and of sickness, and there's nothing or no one or no thing that's going to survive the visit to Iraq. Now, let's get to Iran and to Afghanistan when we come back from the break, because that's a bit more of a story. But, you know, we're talking about an oil pipeline. We're talking about money through Conoco and this guy Karzai. We can go into a little bit deeper into his roots. And we can also talk about the dual face of Iran. You know, not everything that's coming out of Iran is hunky-dory either. We've got Rafsanjani that I don't trust this guy as far as I can throw him. Now, the Iranian people, are they being set up for selling out or what? I don't know. But there are certainly a lot of questions to be asked about what the leadership of Iran is actually doing. And, I mean, so many questions here. And then, let's go into the who's really financing Abu Dhabi and the rest of it. And when you find out that that Zionist Jewish money working together with the sheikhs that they put in office 100 years ago, and they're not benefiting Islam in any way, and in fact they're acting more like Western autocrats than they are as Islamic leaders, then you get the entire picture, don't you?
We certainly do, Daryl. The time 8 minutes past 9 p.m. Central African time, and just listening to that last promo, the world is certainly at a crossroads, especially when it comes to this Obama victory, because people don't know where to turn to. And at the end of the day, that is what we're trying to achieve tonight, is to highlight an alternative view so that you can decide at this crossroad which road you would like to take. We're going straight to the lines. We've got Abu Bakr in KZN. Assalamu alaikum, brother Abu Bakr.
Brother Inayat, and good evening, Daryl.
Good evening, Abu Bakr. How are you, my friend?
Fine, thanks. Okay, I'd just like to focus on two people maybe you can enlighten us on. Firstly, reportedly the richest man in the world, Warren Buffett, has been roped into Obama's financial advisory council. If you can give us more, information on him, sort of how he features in the scheme of things. And secondly, one of your colleagues, we've heard earlier in the day, Keith Harmon Snow, refers to a guy, Maurice Templespan, that, Zionist that's backing both the Republicans and, Democrats, what do you think, what tricks he is up to?
Well, let me answer those questions for you. First of all, Warren Buffett, if you read a book called The Franklin Cover-Up, it's about a child pornography ring and a child sex ring that was uncovered in the United States. An attorney that wrote a book about it and prosecuted one of the cases on that identified Warren Buffett as a pedophile out of Omaha, Nebraska. And in the book, he clearly stated that this man was a pedophile. And Warren Buffett's attorneys contacted this attorney who wrote the book and said, I'm going to sue you if you don't take it out. And the man who wrote it said that if you go ahead and sue me, I've got absolute 100% proof that you're a pedophile. And if you try to sue me, it will come out in open court. And immediately the lawsuit threats were disappeared, and the entire thing was swept under the rug. So Mr. Buffett is in this same sick group, and you'll also see him standing in photographs beside Mr. Rothschild at his estate in Bordeaux. So how far off from the crooks are we? And he is not the richest man in the world. The man doesn't even come in the top 10. All the richest men in the world are people you've never heard of.
Perfect.
And they keep their money in trust accounts.
Right.
Warren Buffett has it in his own account. These people are in trusts, and so they control more money than Warren Buffett could ever make in 10 lifetimes. And so the fact of the matter is he's another front man for these criminals, owned and operated by sick sex practices that have been used against people across the world. But Templeton, again, he's another mover and shaker in both parties, a big financier, like Soros. He's not very different than this guy Soros. And now if you look back into Soros and Templeton's backgrounds, they are economic assassins. They go out into economies and they play arbitrage on your currency and they destroy your economy, and then they go in and buy assets for next to nothing. And this guy Templeton has been involved in that. He's been involved in South America primarily, taking over these banana republics by imploding their currency and then stealing their natural wealth. You'll see him in Bolivia, you'll see him in Paraguay, you'll see him in Argentina. But you'll also see people like him throughout the world. So, and he's a multi-billionaire from the Zionist Jewish camp.
Yeah, and in fact, you were mentioning earlier on about Madeleine Albright coming back, into Obama's sort of league. Apparently, she's his mistress, Maurice Templespan's mistress, his girlfriend.
Well, I don't want to see their kids. I wouldn't put them on a on a stamp, you know.
Yes, and then a couple of weeks ago, we had Richard Cook, discussing about the financial crisis that America is in, and that, you know, within a year it will be, at the moment it's morally bankrupt generally, and now it'll be financially bankrupt. Do you go along with that? That, I mean, it wouldn't be able to pay its debts?
America is already insolvent, and the only reason they are have not declared their insolvency is because the criminals running things are not ready to do it yet. They have placed on balance sheets assets that have no value, and yet on the balance sheet they're claiming their value. So the simple truth of the matter is that America is already technically bankrupt, but they're not the only one. Spain is bankrupt, and so are several European. Italy is. Their fiscal budgets have bankrupted them. But if you take a look at countries around the world, this is going to be true with 9 out of 10 nations. Bankrupt is the watchword for almost every country in the world.
Shukran for that, Brother Abu Bakr. We're going to... Yes, we've got Ibrahim from Mayfair. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Nayat.
Wa alaikum salam.
So, Daryl Smith, hello to you there.
Well, it's nice to have you on with me. What question can I answer for you, Ibrahim?
I got one question for you. The G20 is meeting at Manhattan Institute. Now, a background of them to see where they are in history, and then again, given that background, what can one really expect to come out of those meetings?
Well, the Manhattan Institute is an organization I'm not completely familiar with. However, I do know that there's big influence from Rockefeller, and there's also big interest from the banks, J.P. Morgan and others. It's another one of these think tanks that the Zionists love to set up. And what they do is they use them for policy, pushing policies into the mainstream. They get different financing from different places. They often ask their leadership to contribute to their organizations. You'll find the Hudson Institute and many others. We've got an alphabet soup of these organizations. The Ford Foundation is a big supporter of them. You'll also find that the Carnegie Mellon Foundation and the Annenberg Foundation, they're always putting money into these think tanks, and they're anything but think tanks. They're crime networks pushing deception out into the world. So that's nothing new there.
Okay, thanks. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran for that. 011-494-7007. Lines open as I speak. I'm going to the text messages, Daryl. And this one says, do you believe they have their lackeys in the South African government linked to their Obama agenda?
Well, absolutely. And I got on my show not that long ago and described for the people how some of your largest mining companies are owned and operated by these banks. In one instance, there was a company, and I don't remember the name of it. I think it was D something or other, but it's a big one. 95% of its shareholdings were out of New York banks. Now, New York banks mean Zionist Jewish money. So, absolutely. And then you'll find that that what is it owned by Zionists in New York are run by people like Rockefeller and run by Oppenheimer and run by Warburg money. And they're often run by trust accounts, so you don't see the name Oppenheimer on the ownership. What you see is a front company that runs as a trust. You'll see companies like Sprout in Canada running things for these people. But the money that comes into these investment firms that own all this stuff and that invest in all this stuff are actually held in ownership by this group. And so if you take a look behind, one level behind the names on the stock ownership and go one step further in to find out who actually owns it, you'll find out it's these criminals. And yes, South Africa is owned and operated by this cabal, absolutely.
17 minutes past 9 p.m. Lines open as I speak. 011-494-7007. Text messages 082-550-6384. Daryl, just before the break, you know, you were going to talk about Afghanistan and Iran as well, where you actually expressed concern over Iran and the stance that Iran is actually taking. In fact, you mentioned, I think that, you know, at the end, especially with a guy like Rafsanjani and the agenda of Rafsanjani too. Maybe you'd just like to expand on that.
Well, what I've seen is connections between Ahmadinejad and Rafsanjani going back into history. And, you know, the different camps and different controllers have emerged at the leadership level in Iran that have often done deals with Israel. You know, they're supposed to be sworn enemies, but, you know, they do backdoor deals between Israel and Iran. But that has been ongoing all the way since the 80s, where they sold spare parts to each other. They bought equipment for their nuclear plant through people in America and through Israel. They've done oil deals that went into Tel Aviv. They've done, you know, international deals of all types, including Iran-Contra going back to the 80s. But, you know, you saw those things funnel through Rafsanjani's people when he was the president. But you also saw that the Ayatollah Khomeini was protected by Zionist interests in Paris before he was returned there. And you'll also note that the Pahlavi throne was imploded immediately after the Shah of Iran mentioned on a national interview that the Jews ran the world. Now, I think his card came up as soon as he started barking at some of the controllers that he did. Now, this man was a very bad man. Trust me, the Pahlavi fortune was installed there falsely, the peacock throne. It was a fraud. But he stopped being playing nice with the Zionists, so they got rid of him, and they installed another guy. Now, you know, how much sway these people have in Iran, I don't know. And, I, you know, here's one thing that gets me a little bit nervous. I'm probably one of the biggest voices against Zionism in the world, and I've never heard one ounce of anything from Iran. There's no help from these people. They're not pushing forward the agenda. And it seems to me, in my view, every time that they can step in a pile of mess in the Western press, they do it. They don't make things better for themselves. They often clearly are making it worse for themselves almost by order. You know, like, in other words, they say the worst thing at the worst possible time. Now, that makes me very suspicious. Now, take a look at what's happening in Afghanistan on the other side of it. We've got this guy who was an oil executive for the Conoco oil company, who they install as president. He's still there, Karzai, but he only runs a little enclave in Kabul. Fact of the matter is that's just a big drug production place right now, and it's also a place they hope to put a future pipeline in. And that pipeline is supposed to bring Central Asian oil down to the coast of Pakistan. And I also see Pakistan going down the tubes as well, and you know, the assassination of Benazir Bhutto for speaking out against Zionist control, they got rid of her in a New York second. And so that whole region is just in turmoil with espionage and counter-espionage and all kinds of intrigues that go right back to these criminals, and in no instance are they interested in stability in that region. None. They want mayhem, they want anarchy.
Well, interesting you mentioned Pakistan, because we all know what the situation is in Pakistan. That country is actually near to economic collapse. In fact, this week alone, there's this talk now of structural adjustment programs that need to be taken in Pakistan. So, you know, Pakistan has been obviously pinning their hopes on Obama as well. And I think they're going to be hugely disappointed to Daryl.
Well, they are, and guess who they have to go to get money from? They have to go to this criminal I described earlier, Dominique Strauss-Kahn from the IMF. If they don't get a bridge loan in Pakistan over the next 6 months from Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who is a rabid Zionist and a criminal, then their economy will fully collapse. And you know what Lahore will be like, or Islamabad will be like when there's no food around. It will be a nightmare. And, you know, I hope that the people of Pakistan can get their themselves into the countryside and planting food right away, because 6 months from now there's not going to be any food on the dinner table over there, and I see that's going to happen worldwide, and I recommend that for everybody. But the population of 180 million people housed in that small country, with their lack of natural environment to grow enough food, It doesn't spell success for them. It really doesn't.
Well, it certainly doesn't. The time, 22 minutes
by.
Well, this is certainly the alternative view, and we're bringing you the alternative view on Barack Obama. Obama mania, which has gripped the world. But at the end of the day, what are the consequences for the rest of the world stemming out from the election of Barack Obama as president-elect of the United States of America? Daryl, here's an interesting one for you. And the text message says, in the Bush era, it was the right-wing Christians. In the Obama era, it is the right-wing Zionists. What is the difference?
Well, the group of Christians that are Zionists are basically dupes. They were sold a bill of goods for their religion back 100 years ago when the Jews rewrote the Christian Bible. The Christian Bible was metatext. By metatexting, I mean in all the margins of the book. Picture for yourself the Quran having writing in the margin and somebody describing for you what you're supposed to understand about the Quran. Well, the Bible was written with these texts on the right side of each page describing how people were supposed to understand what was there. It was called the Scofield Bible. Now, it was written by Zionist Jews, and this is where they introduced the idea of rapture and the idea that there is a Judeo-Christian background to Christianity, where the fact of the matter is Christianity and Judaism throughout the 2,000-year history of Christianity have been opposed to one another. Why? Because Jesus stood in front of the temple and called these people vipers, the very people we're fighting today. And he said that you are Pharisees and that you are vipers and that you are the synagogue of Satan is what he called them. And the simple fact is that the Judaism that is running Israel today is that very same group. And there is nothing Judeo-Christian about this relationship, but these Christians have been sold a lie. And they have paid, the Zionists have paid to introduce it to the rest of the United States, and they believe it. And sadly, they've got millions of followers. You've got people like Hagee and this guy Pat Robertson and many others forwarding this idea that Israel and the Jews are allies with Christians, and nothing could be farther from the truth.
Well, certainly. In fact, I'm going to go to the next one because I think people obviously are concerned. I've got just stacks of text messages that are coming through. I'd like some live callers coming through as well on 011-494-7007. This one says, salams to Daryl. What can we do to brace ourselves from this worldwide trash?
Well, first of all, if you've got access to land, any kind of land, you begin to prepare that land for cultivation. I would get appropriate food seeds in the ground. If you want corn or even wheat or sorghum or peppers, onions, whatever it is, potatoes, I would begin to cultivate a garden and in any spot of land I can find that I can tend. I would immediately start cutting back on any kind of spending. Absolutely no new debt being taken on whatsoever. I would be preparing my family for shortages of all types, cooking oil and the like. I would be preparing them to see rioting in their immediate environment because people will be hungry and they'll be demanding food, and if you've got some of it, they might be trying to take it from you. I would be trying to find access to legal weapons, such as firearms. If I am able to have a legal weapon, I would certainly purchase one. If you are still permitted in South Africa to have hunting rifles, I would certainly consider having one in my home, and I would consider having appropriate amounts of ammunition to supply that weapon. And I would certainly start telling people around them what has happened to this world and how it took place, so that when the actions begin to take hold, when these sickening problems begin to emerge, we know who to go after and who to blame.
Thank you for that, Daryl. We're going to Abdullah in KZN. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam. How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, how are you keeping?
I'm very well, thank you. And how's my brother, Daryl?
Very well, thank you. And do you have a question for me tonight?
Yes, Daryl.
Brother Abdullah, just before you ask the question, is your receiver on?
Just let me just check, please.
Please, yeah, there seems to be quite a disturbance.
Okay, is it better now?
Yes, much better.
Okay. Daryl, I joined this debate quite late, you know, I was out. In my eyes, there is no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats in the U.S. It is the same policy, maybe in... They run one policy, they are one coin, and they are controlled by the neocons there, they are controlled by the right-wing Christians, and they have to follow the policies of the parties, and if they don't, eventually they do get murdered.
And well, so what's your question regarding that? You have a question?
Yes, my question is, what do you think that there will be a difference by Obama coming into power?
Well, no, and that's what we've been discussing for the last hour and a half. In fact, if you go back in history all the way back to the founding of the Federal Reserve in 1913, there has been a continuous and unbroken string of criminal governments in America that have been used for different reasons around the world, including to throw World War One against the Germans, which, if you know anything about the Balfour signings, was inspired. That whole war was lost by Germany because the Zionists threw their support behind the British. Then you can see going all the way in through the 1920s, that implosion of the economy was done intentionally, the failure of the stock market through the 30s, so that they could gain stronger control over the American economy. And then the World War II's war machine was pumped up by these same criminals, Henry Kaiser and the rest, building ships and weapons for this military-industrial complex, also controlled by Zionism. And then all the way in through the nuclear age, which the Zionist Jews controlled lock, stock, and barrel, even including the transfer of that technology to Russia through the Rosenbergs. So the fact of the matter is that there's been an unbroken chain of criminal Zionism in the American government and the world since the dawn of this last century. So we're not looking at anything different, but you can go back further in history, back to Wellington and to the stealing of the entire British economy during the war, the Napoleonic Wars. And go in further back than that and go all the way to Lombardy when they imploded the goldsmiths imploded the economy of the Middle Ages. Now look, these guys admit, excuse me, they've been in business a long time, and they've never been outed on a worldwide level. This is the first time we've had a chance to actually get the entire world behind the truth. And this is a real opportunity. We've got to take it while we have.